Hear this reading from the Word of God, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning at the first verse. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We always give thanks to God for all of you and mention you in our prayers, constantly remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, beloved by God, that he has chosen you because our message of the gospel came to you not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction, just as you know what kind of persons we proved to be among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord. For in spite of persecution, you received the word with joy, inspired by the Holy Spirit. So you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place. Your faith in God has become known, so that we have no need to speak about it. For the people of those regions report about us what kind of welcome we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath that is coming. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Before we look in some detail at this chapter, Bob has a third mission moment for us.
I want to read to you from Isaiah 58, verses 10 and 11. For Isaiah says, "And if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail." In your bulletin, you have a handout that says the mission continues. If you would please refer to that. Our church has always had a strong and faithful support of missions through the years. From this list and other missions that you are aware of, please begin to think about one or more of those that you want to support during 2019. With God's guidance through focused prayer, I will support this mission outreach during 2019. Dr. Campbell will refer to this at the end of his sermon, and I would like for you to think about what mission you'd like to write on that line to support, either by your prayers, your works, further learning and understanding, and or financial means and donations. Thank you.
So I told you earlier, the theme of the service is the mission continues. You could also read that in front of the bulletin. The mission continues. Can you say that? The mission continues. A few of you said it with your mouth closed. Let's say it again. The mission continues. One more time. The mission continues. Well, we have a new addition, and we're going to have more than twice the space in this facility, but still, the mission continues. Don't go to sleep on me. Oh, there's all kinds of inconvenience we've been through. We hardly could get in or out of this place. But nevertheless, the mission continues. Actually, it's going to cost a lot of money, too. But that doesn't matter because when we won't stop growing because and we're going to sit on our laurels. Why? The only reason we have a building at all is the mission continues. We are Christ's church. Therefore, the mission continues. And after all, the mission is not a building anyway. The mission is people. The mission is people like you and like me reaching other people like you and like me and sharing the good news of Jesus with them. Our mission is people. That's the reality of mission. So that's why when Paul wrote to his first letter to the Thessalonians, he said, I'm writing to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. He's talking about real people who lived at that time. And we are real people living in our day, and the mission is people to people. Barbara Streisand sang it, right? People who need people are the luckiest people in the world. I know I could sing that for you as well as she did, but I'm not going to do it anyway, right? Not right now. Yeah, but what I would say is people who love people are the people in this world most blessed. And the reason we love people is because God has loved us. You know the gospel in a nutshell, right? John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And you know that's what the world needs now. Love, sweet love. And so we who love people are in mission, and that's the reality of what we call mission. People to people sharing the love of God. People like us who are called out just for that purpose. Paul wrote to the church of the Thessalonians. The word church translates a Greek word, ekklesia. But we get our couple of English words from it, like Ecclesiastes or ecclesiastical, words you use every day, I know. But it means people who are called out. They are special people. They are called out people. We're a church, and so we are called out. That's the reality of the mission, people to people, people who are called out to people who need to be called out by the Lord. And it is God who calls us out. The church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. God himself started the mission. It all comes from the great heart of God, a heart full of love, because God loves everything that God has made, but especially people. And out of that love, the Son of God came to this earth and gave himself fully. Oh, how he loved you. Oh, how he loved me. He gave himself. What more could he give? Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. And the Father and the Son then sent the third person of the Blessed Trinity, the Holy Spirit, down upon the church on the first day of Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit still dwells with us here, and the Holy Spirit impels us to go out and tell other people what we know about a God who loves them, people to people, people who are called out. And the message that we are to offer is to share God's grace and peace. Paul, to the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. Grace is a free gift of God. Grace is the free giving of God's self through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit to us. And we live in a world that needs grace. Would you agree? And we need to live in a world that needs peace. Peace means wholeness. It means completeness. It means to be well. It means to be healed. Just think of our world. That's the reality of the mission. We're in that world. We're in a world where there's violence, and we hear about it every single day on the news. We're in a world where there's an opioid crisis, and we realize how terribly some people are trapped in their own addiction. It is a world that needs grace and peace. That's the reality of the mission. Paul goes on to talk about the reasons for the mission. Verses 2 and 3, we always give thanks to God for all of you and mention you in our prayers, remembering before God and our Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Those three things are strong reasons for the mission to continue. A work of faith. If you're a believer today, God has done a work of faith in your own heart. But if you're a believer today, you know someone else who needs to have that work of faith happen in their heart and life. And you're going to work for them through your prayers and through your influence, through your even sometimes through your testimony, so that the work of God can go out into other people and other realms and other places. The work of faith, the labor of love. We've already talked about that a little bit. The love of God that impels the mission and caused God Himself to send His Son and to send the Holy Spirit. The God who loves the whole world wants us to be involved in the labor of love. You know, love is so expansive, isn't it? It's elastic. You can extend that love to someone else and still have just as much love as you ever had. Did you know that? All right, here's a young man, young woman. They fall in love with one another, and they think that's a wonderful thing. How wonderful it is just to be together. It's us. Uh-oh, now another human being appears in their home. And they love that new child, but they still love each other just as much as ever, maybe more. And they might have another child or maybe even a large family, or they think about their neighbors and the kids come and play together and they love them all. And there's no reduction of the amount of love. That's the way God is with us. And that is the reason for our mission, because God loved the world. We love the world. Where would you put a boundary line on your love? And say, I'll go this far, but I won't go any farther. Oh, no, we can't do that because love is elastic. Love is expansive. And then the patience of hope. This is a hopeless world that we live in. And that's the reason for the mission. Because we have hope. Of all people, we have hope. Why? Because we are awaiting the coming of God's own Son from heaven. Verses 9 and 10. You turn from God, from idols to God to serve the living God and to wait for His Son from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, who rescues us from the wrath that is coming. Hey, you have hope to share with someone who has no hope. Just think of the hopelessness of the world. It's such a sad thing to see someone who decides life is not worth living, especially a younger person that had his or her life ahead of them, but can't believe that there's any reason for hope. Well, if there's no reason for them to hope, there's certainly lots of reason for us to be in mission. Okay, the mission continues, right? Did I hear you say that? The mission continues? Say, I didn't hear it quite yet. The mission. Now, what about the results of our mission? The heart of the gospel, the heart of the mission is good news. I gave you a Greek word before, ekklesia, church. Here's another nice Greek word for you to learn today, and I know you'll remember every letter of both of them. Evangelion. It simply means good news. And you know, the word gospel is an old English word that means good news. That's what the gospel is all about. It is all good news. And if our mission is effective, then a result of our mission is that good news will be proclaimed to other people, not only in what we say, but a lot more probably in what we do. I saw a church sign, marquee out in front of a church that said, "Preach the gospel. If necessary, use words." All right? So it is not only by our words, but by our influence as well. Listen to what Paul wrote to the Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 at verse 5 through 8. God has chosen you because our message of the gospel came to you, not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction, just as you know what kind of persons we proved to be among you. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord. For in spite of persecution, you received the word with joy, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so you've become an example in the regions of Macedonia and Achaia, and in every place, your faith in God has become known. So we have no need to speak about it. Just think of the every places just on the bulletin insert that Bob has highlighted already. Where we have some influence, or we may become active and go, for example, to Honduras or to Haiti, where we might even invest some of our monies, but especially where we might pray and be part of the full support team of those places. Yes, preach the gospel, not only in word, but in influence, and especially in relationships. Let me tell you about a couple of the mission projects that are on that list myself. One of them is Girl Scouts. I didn't know that we had a Girl Scout troop meeting in our church. Maybe you didn't either. But right before Christmas, Joy and I had an invitation to go and meet with the Girl Scouts. They even allowed me to be a Girl Scout for a couple of days. We rehearsed some Christmas carols, and then sometime before Christmas, we went out caroling with the Girl Scouts here in our church. So they are a mission, but they're in mission, and so part of their mission was to go out and bring good news, the good news of the birth of Jesus, to our community. One place we stopped, for example, is right down the street here from the church at the EMT station. And I had never thought of it before, but one of the fellows came out, opened the door, and stood there, and it was a lonely kind of a place, and it was a cold night. And here we were, the Girl Scouts, singing about the birth of Jesus to the EMT station. Is that cool or what? Or think about Haiti again. A couple years ago, we had heard from Greg Benson about the possibility of building small homes for Haitians whose lives have been wrecked by earthquake and storm. And two of our adult Sunday school classes had a little competition going. How much money can you raise to buy to build homes in Haiti? I happen to be one of the teachers of one of those classes, so of course I think my class won the contest, right? But it really didn't matter who won. The point was we raised funds by our little contest and built, I can't tell you how many homes in Haiti through the Bensons who were missionaries there. We can all be part of all or many of the missions that our church supports. Why? Because what? The mission continues. And so we're encouraging you today to be part of one or more of these mission projects. Now, one question I'd like you to think about is, how does our mission rate in God's sight? If God was going to grade our mission, would it be A or B or C or F, maybe? No, I don't think it'd be F. Do you, Bob? I don't think it'd be F. But I'd like it to be higher than a C, wouldn't you? I'd like it to be higher than an A. I'd take a double A or a double A plus. How does God rate our mission? Many years ago, when I was still a student pastor, one of the churches I served was St. Paul's United Methodist Church. It was in the Pocono Mountains in Pennsylvania. And I was just a young whippersnapper, but I had the gall to have a sermon one day, and the title of the sermon was, "What Does St. Paul Think of St. Paul's?" I want to ask us, what does the Lord think of Fredericktown United Methodist Church? That's what really counts, isn't it? How do we rate if our mission is going to continue? You know, our denomination has a mission statement. It was being flashed before the service a couple of times up on the board. And that mission statement is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. That's our denominational mission statement. To make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. But did you know that Fredericktown has its own mission statement? Take out that bulletin again, will you please? The mission statement appears there every Sunday. I think we ought to memorize it, don't you? But if you don't know it by heart, you can read it today. It's near the top under the title of the church. Read it with me, if you will, please. As a body of believers, we will glorify God by calling others to Christ, nurturing all persons, growing in faith, and serving in love. That's a wonderful mission statement. And I want to tell you, the mission continues. The mission continues. But you know, a church is only the sum total of the people in that church. So if I as an individual am not part of the mission, then the church is to that extent not as much part of the mission as it needs to be. But if I as an individual believer know that I'm in mission and that my mission continues, and then if I join with 100 others who believe the same thing about themselves, then we can say of our church, the mission continues. Right? So I want you to ponder in your own prayers, am I a missionary or am I a mission field? You're one or the other. If you're not a missionary, you're a mission field. And I hope some missionary will come and help you out. But we all want to be missionaries. I ask you this last question. If every member were just like me, what kind of church would my church be? The mission continues. Amen? On that insert, that bulletin insert that Bob pointed out, he said you can tear off the bottom part of it. Fact is, if you want to fold it both ways, it'll tear off very neat. But I don't care if it's neat or not. What we want you to do is to covenant to be involved in one or more of the missions of Fredericktown United Methodist Church. I have an idea that Andy's going to put Honduras. I have an idea that Jane's going to put Haiti. What are you going to put down? What mission will you covenant to pray for, first of all? That's most important. And then if God wants you to do it, you'll support it by money giving. Or maybe you'll become part of that mission and actually go to that mission yourself. And you'll learn more about the mission. All right? You have it? I want you to take a few moments to fill that out on that blank line at the bottom. What we're going to do is, in just a moment, before we close, before the praise team leads the closing, is to come forward and leave these as promises here at the front. We'll just lay them down on either side of the podium there. You can come up the center aisle and back the side, back to your seat. If you are not able to move forward, please just give your slip to someone who's coming forward, and they'll put it up there for you. If you want to stay here and pray for that mission for just a moment, I want to invite you to do that as well. Now, I'm going to lead a prayer and ask for God's guidance, and then we'll have the opportunity to demonstrate the fact that the mission continues. Heavenly Father, we pray for your wisdom and your will to be done as we are involved in mission, in the specific mission outreaches of our congregation. Guide us. We're about to make a promise that we'll be involved because we want the mission to continue. Help us to do it according to your direction and your will. I pray for Jesus' sake. Amen. If you're ready, please stand. If you're not ready, please stand. And we come up the center aisle and leave our promises here. Stay and pray if you're moved to do that, or go back to your seat. Father, we have made promises. Promises represented by these slips of paper here at the front. We pray that you will send your Holy Spirit upon us and to remind us on a regular basis of our promise to pray, to be involved, to be supporting, maybe even to go in mission. And now we pray also that by your loving presence, you will guide and direct the footsteps and the life of each person here. And we ask this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you as you go.